Hello, and welcome to the Just a Dog Trainer podcast, where we talk about everything under the sun, but with a dog trainer's unique point of view, namely mine. I'm Laurie C. Williams, aka the Canine Diva, and I've been a dog training professional for over 35 years, not only training dogs, but also helping them and their humans establish a strong bond and a partnership as they travel through this journey called life. Come along with us. Hey, everybody. It's the Canine Diva. Welcome to another episode of Just a Dog Trainer, where we talk about all things dog from the Canine Diva's perspective, of course. Today, we have a great guest. It is Joe Church of NWA Canis Corsos. And Joe and I are going to talk about that very powerful, smart, active, but very misunderstood breed that is growing in popularity. So Joe and I are going to have a conversation about that, as well as what are some things for some of the things that people who are interested in the breed should be looking for, some of the things that they should not be looking for, and everything in between. So let me go ahead and get Joe out here so we can talk about it. Hi, Joe. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
Good. Really good to talk to you again.
Likewise.
Yeah. For those who may not have seen, I appeared on Joe's very well-run, very well-organized podcast. It's probably been a few months ago now. So that's how I first got in familiar with you and what you do. But I definitely wanted to circle back to you once I got my own up and running. So Joe, you and your wife are breeders of Canis Corsos and Central Asian Shepherds, which I'm not familiar with. I don't even know if I've ever actually seen one in person. So why don't we start with what got you into dog breeding in general? Like, what is your background in dogs, like from, you know, the very beginning?
Right. Just coming up as a kid, my dad used to always say is how important it was to have a dog around, especially for things you can't see or hear. We stayed in the hood. So that's how that was the main purpose for the dogs when we was coming up. So we just kind of always had a pet dog. So we had a lot of dogs that lived a long time. So I said a lot of dogs, but we had a few dogs that lived a very long time when I was coming up. So we didn't just run through dogs like that. When I got a little older in my 20s, you know, I'm running around doing whatever. And so I kind of got out of dogs here and there, unless maybe if I was with a girlfriend or something, she might have had a dog. Then I got married. And then I became an entrepreneur once I met my wife and moved in the area I am now, because I'm from Central Arkansas.
Central Arkansas, right.
Yeah. But now I moved up to Northwest Arkansas. We're going on about 10 years of marriage.
Okay. And congratulations.
Appreciate it. Yep. And we had I had a son that was, he was born at 24 weeks. Right in the middle, right, not too long, about 6 months after I moved here. And I was in the middle of starting a business and everything. And, you know, the doctors told me, he can't go to preschool anyway. So it wasn't no going back to work.
Somebody
had to stay home.
Yeah.
So being an entrepreneur kind of changed my life, where I got more time. People probably could relate to it more this way. If you come out of a breakup, you kind of like rediscover yourself, things sure. you used to like. And then, but I had a cousin who always had this breed of dog for about the last 25, 26 years.
Wow.
His name is Lamont Morgan, La Potenza, Canis Corso, in Texas. So over 20-something years ago, we had a dog when it was first starting to come around America. Mm-hmm. And those dogs back then were very different.
Sure, right.
They were aggressive.
Yeah.
So circle back around to him, and I decided, I said, well, I'm going to give me a dog again. And he told me, well, just wait. I'm going to wait on a good one. And I just waited and I started because I had been out a long time since I've had that. But my life was different. I wasn't punching the clock. I was at home most of the day. I
Right.
had, at the time, I think I had about 20 employees. So I'm at home. Life is different. And so I got back into the dogs, enjoyed the breed so much. And I kept talking to my cousin. He said, "Man, you got time and you do a lot with your dog. You like the dog and stuff. Like, maybe think about breeding." And so I gave it a shot. And I kind of liked it because it's when you breed for yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
You don't,
absolutely.
yeah, you at least you should want to
Right,
breed for
right.
yourself. Because like you'll see certain things like the mom may act like I got this one dog, she's goofy. And then I see it in her son. Man, you act just like your mom. And things like that you'll want to enhance. And things
Yes.
that might not be good, a trait you might want to get rid of. So you kind of like if you kind of nerdy. So I just kind of enjoyed the science of breeding, started getting into a little things as far as reading and everything and learning
Sure.
more about the dog. Yeah.
Yep, so educate yourself. So, yeah, I don't know if we talked about when I was on your podcast, but I did a very limited breeding years ago. It's probably been about close to 40 years. Every time I say those numbers, I'm like, Laurie, they're going to start doing math and figure out how old you are. But anyway, it was probably about 40 years ago when I did my litter, and I only bred about three litters. But just saying all this to say, one of the first things that the breeders that I worked with early on, you always want to breed better. You always want to breed up. You always want to improve, keep improving. And when I started showing dogs, I remember a judge would always tell me, oh, so this is the son of something. Ah, really nice. Because you always want the son to be better than the father was.
That's right.
And it used to sometimes hurt my feelings a little bit because I was like, but I love the father. I thought he was really great. I don't want his son to beat him, but you do. You want the son to be better. But anyway, so yeah, so that's something, Earl, that, if you are breeding the right way, that is what you are definitely trying to do. So good. It sounds like very early on you already knew that, and that was going to be your goal. Now, tell me about, I told you I was going to mention this a little bit because it's a pet peeve of mine. One of my personal pet peeves, because I currently have Dalmatians, is when I see people spell it wrong, which is very common for everyday average people to spell it wrong because they don't have them. But Dalmatian is actually spelled Dalmatian. So when I see the, yeah, when I see the Ontion, it just gets a little bit under my skin, especially when it is a person who actually owns a Dalmatian who doesn't know how to spell it. So let's talk about the proper pronunciation of Cane Corso. What is it?
Well, I'll tell you what is not first.
There you go.
It's not King Corso. It's not Kanye Corso. It's not what
Please
is
not,
it? It's
Kanye.
not Canny Corso.
Yeah.
It's not whatever all those little term what else
Cane,
I
candy cane courses.
Yeah, it's another one they've been saying. I usually get it in an email, but
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
yeah,
Asking
it's
for a puppy.
It's Connie Corso.
Connie,
Like
okay,
yeah,
good.
like Connie wants some money. Yeah,
Right.
so it's Connie Corso. And like Miss Lori said, you can give people a pass on it, but if when it's people involved in the breed,
Right,
it's ridiculous. I
right.
had a show not too long ago where a guy was just I was like, man, you've been in how many years?
Yeah.
Those people would
It's
light me up
kind
for
of,
that.
it does show a little bit of, lack of education, but it also shows a lack of respect, in my opinion. Like, you don't even care to call it what its proper name is. A little bit of laziness, but I could go on and on. But yeah, so good. So now that we have established that, so that
Yes,
people
ma'am.
know. And one of the reasons too is because the other thing I wanted to talk about is the popularity in the breed. Like, I would say in the past 5 to 10 years is probably pushing it, but I'll say the past 5 years, for sure, I see so many more that are coming to classes. Not enough. So we'll get into
Oh, God, yes.
about the proper training and what should be done. But I still see more than I ever saw before, and I see a lot of people getting them. So what do you think about the popularity? For just real quick, for me, as a Dalmatian owner, we had a real bad run right after the first Disney movie, of course, which was in the 1960s. They got super, super popular. And then bad things started happening to the breed because that's inevitable. When everybody and their brother and sister and uncle and aunt are breeding them, they're going to have problems. So there was problems in the breed. The breed has a problem with deafness, runs in the breed. So there were a lot of deaf dogs out there that were biting people. The dogs weren't getting the proper exercise. It was, which is a recipe for disaster. They weren't getting training. Anyway, bad run in the 60s. Then they brought the movie back in the 90s, bad run. So Dalmatian breeders actually started curbing their breeding for a while to try to get that back down. And also they started really scrutinizing who gets the breed. So a little bit of gatekeeping, which I know people don't like, but so tell me a little bit about what is happening now with Cana Corsas.
Well, first thing you said was you starting to see more of them coming to you. And so I saw somebody who said that the day would spark me to do a show tomorrow with a couple of trainers to kind of address this to see what they're seeing, because evidently it must be getting really bad. But from what I know, the popularity has increased, and one of them, probably the main problem, is temperament, you know. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of education in our breed, and the public doesn't have a lot of education in the breed, and that's one of the big problems with dominant breeds. People need to know more about why not to get them,
Yeah,
instead
there you
of,
go.
'cause you know we pump them up and we're like, ooh, you know, and then that ego is, especially with men, that ego get involved, and things like that. So, and then they find out they can't handle them, and but a lot of people don't need this breed.
No.
And then two, people get mad at my show a lot, especially breeders, because we talk about how to pick out dogs. You know what I mean? If you want to buy a dog from, you know, it's different types within breeds, you know, working and you know, pet home life. But if I was today, if I was looking for a master of a Cane Corso, and you need to look at the breeder's lifestyle. You know, if he has children and you got children, I'd be more apt to go to him than somebody doing bite work with a Corso. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah, you can't go for all the bells and whistles, because we all trying to. I got checked by a trainer one time. I did my first show with him. He passed away now, Mr. Gypsy Stratton. And he saw a advertisement I did, and I had the mom on one side, dad on the other side. I had all this fire, and I mean, I had that music going, and he's like, "What are you doing?" You know, and he talked about me, the perception of how I advertise my dogs. You know, he said, "You ain't about that." I said, he said, "Don't you have children?" I know you. He knew my children at the time. He said, "Promote that, you know. Don't promote what, you know, negative things about, you know, the breed and this and that." But like you say, whenever a dog get popular, you get more breeders popping out of the woodworks. I
And a
think
lot,
I Go
And
ahead.
like you said, a lot of people getting them who don't need to have them. It because it, I'm touching on the point you made about not everybody needs one. I remember distinctly when I first started looking for a Dalmatian, I went to the Dalmatian Club of America's website to find a breeder. And the right immediately their homepage, when you first got to the website, it said, 10 reasons you do not need a Dalmatian. They had that on their web page. Like, talk about dissuading people. Of course, I read through them. I'm like, okay, that's not me that bad. I was going to get one regardless. But yeah, that was, and that takes a lot for a breed or a breeders to say that. Like, no, you don't need this dog. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're breeding, you want these dogs to get homes. But you want, it is so important that you have the right home. And that, like, I've talked to many breeders that look, I'll keep every one of the dogs in the litter if I have to before I would give it to somebody that doesn't need to have this dog. So they do a lot of gatekeeping. And I know people don't like that, but hey, it is what it is. You have to protect the
Yeah, and
breed.
then too, you want to do it right because I don't want to get a dog back. You know what I mean?
Right,
I
right, right.
I don't want, it's risky. You don't know what
Yeah,
people
yeah.
do
I
to the
know.
dog,
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and you had to come pick it up. I hadn't been through that yet.
Thankfully, yeah.
Yeah, thankfully, but yeah, you got to be really careful. That puppy application is everything.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
everything, you know, and all money ain't good money.
Right,
You know. Yeah,
right.
so
For sure.
right.
And you know, the things that are in that puppy application, you better be ready to back that up. Like, you know, if you're telling them, well, that you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this and you have to do that, what if they don't? What are you gonna do?
Right, because it's their dog did too. But
Yeah.
even on the customer side, you have to be careful and read those contracts carefully
Well, yeah,
because,
definitely.
yeah, because it could be three, four sheets saying I'm not covering nothing.
Yeah,
Yeah, because
sure.
I've seen where people tout the health testing, and but when something goes wrong with the puppy, they don't cover the puppy.
No,
You know,
yeah.
so you gotta, the character of the breeder matters.
Yes, for sure. Definitely. Yeah. So,
Yes, sir.
you know, I've been in the game, as we say, for so long. You know, I can look right at you know, breeders and like, yeah, no, I'm not dealing with that person and whatever. And but that's some the everyday average dog owner does not have that. They don't have that discriminating eye that they can pick things out. So it really is hard, which is why a lot of people do go to like backyard breeder puppy mills and that. I mean, I out of the kind of corsos that I've had come through my facility in the last 5 years, I can right away tell one that came from good breeding and one that didn't. And this is as puppies. I know, and I am not a skilled, like knowing the standard perfectly or anything like that. I can just tell by temperament and yeah, and by look as well. I can just look at the dog. I can tell just, I was like, yeah, no, from its structure, just a lot of things. And so I'm seeing a lot of different, you know, I'm seeing from every side of the spectrum coming in. But most importantly, and this is unfortunate that I have very often I do not see them until they're about 10, 11 months old, and the owners are already afraid of them. I mean, afraid, because the dog is growling at them. Or, I mean, I actually had one that the dog would not let anybody go downstairs at night. Like, if they woke up in the middle of the night, wanted to go down to the kitchen, get a snack or whatever, that dog would stand in the hallway and growl and no, you're not passing me tonight, not till morning. And so they went back to bed. I was like, so your dog is ruling the household and telling you. And like I said, by then the dog's like 100 pounds or more, because they waited until the dog was 11 months old. What can you stress to people about taking their young puppy in for training? And I don't even want to say taking them in for training. If Train them yourself if you know how to do it, but start when they are young. Do not wait until there is a problem. So what do you tell your potential puppy buyers and owners about that? How do you stress that to them?
You have no choice, or you're going to be in big trouble. These dogs are, they get big. They get big, and they will kind of like, I'll give you an example. When we got our first one, she's fine. Some reason she used to like test my wife. I guess it was about 6 months, 9 months of age. Her and my wife used to have, they had issues. So what we did, we just got a trainer involved. I didn't have it. She would do what I would, wanted. The kids were fine. But my wife got worked with this trainer. I said, you and the trainer do it. And it worked out well.
Good.
My wife has a force like doing the basic training of a dog. Way better than me. The dogs relate way better to her. And then I guess it's that, I don't know, it's that motherly instinct, or I don't know. Yeah. But it's, yeah, it's she way at handling the dogs. She's better than me. I'll just be honest, So, and then that aspect of that nurturing, sometimes when we have litters, I'm like, you got to calm down. That's what, she don't want to lose a puppy, it's fun. It's fun, but it can be stressful at times too. But
Yeah, it does.
yeah, but
I
they
would.
you have to get, those dogs trained. These dogs are no joke, and one of the most beautiful things you can ever see in a dog is when it is trained.
Oh,
They're
yeah.
more fun. They're more fun when they're trained.
Yeah. Well, that's
Yeah.
what, and that's the, that is the, both the beauty and the tragedy of dogs, in my opinion, because everybody wants a trained dog. Everybody wants a trained dog. That's one of the things that attracted me to training in general was watching dogs perform. I took my first dog that I had as an adult to a training class, and I stayed after. It was a kennel club ran the classes, and I stayed after and just watched them working with their dogs. So they had an upcoming competition. And I said that's what I want my dog to be able to do. So I was hooked from that minute on. So everybody wants that, but so few are willing to put in the work to get that. And
That's right.
that's what the tragedy part is. And it's funny that you mentioned about, the big scary dogs. That's the category that I would put kind of Corsos in. But they're not the only ones. That dog is no joke. And if they don't have the proper training, and if they don't have understand how whoever is their leader, and there's a, so when I was on your podcast, I talked a little bit about, different ways to lead. I probably lead dogs differently than some other trainers do, but we talked about that on the show I did with you. People can go back and watch that one.
Yeah, please.
But however you do it, their dog will know. I suspect, yes, your wife does it probably more in a nurturing, mothering way, if you will, if you want to use those words. Dogs pick up on that. They do. But still, there has to be consistency, proper timing, and good technique, which clearly your wife has that as well, or it wouldn't work. It doesn't work unless you have those things. So, that's something a dog needs regardless of their size, because I also know Chihuahuas who stand in the hallway and think you better not come past me either, and we'll corral. So it doesn't matter the size, except that, of course, if you have a larger dog, they could do more damage should they follow through with their threat, which is what growling is. It's a threat that I might just get you. I don't know for sure, but I might, and you don't know either. So you either take me seriously or not. Try to test me. We'll see. Most people are not going to test a big dog. They're going to say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and err on the side of caution and wait till the morning, deal with this. Whereas a smaller dog, they might pick it up and whatever.
Yeah, right. You're
But
right.
yeah, so for sure, it's much more dangerous with a dog with the size and power of Cane Corsos. And that is what makes it more urgent to make sure they have the proper training. So it's good to have breeders like you that are doing that because, like I said, I know they're a lot more popular. I don't see as many as I probably should see. And then those that I do see are coming in late. They're coming in, and I'm not a trainer who minces words very much. So I always tell people, well, we would not be having this problem had you come to me 6 months ago. I'll
Okay,
tell them. I
yeah,
will
you're
tell
right.
them. I will tell
You're
them.
right. So I saw
Go
this
ahead.
mention I saw this mentioned earlier today, this very subject. So I'm doing a pop-up show on it tomorrow with a couple of trainers, and one of them got hyped up immediately, and he just said the same thing you said, because he said a lot of it is the owner's fault.
Yeah,
You know what I
preventable.
mean? Right. And then another thing too that's important about training and why I try to promote trainers so much is the training can save the dog's life.
Yes,
You know, the power of
absolutely.
yes or no, yes and
Right.
no, save a dog's life. Stop the one in the street, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely safety is probably the most important reason to train your dog. I mean, I have a little bit of not gonna lie, a little bit of ego in there where I like for people to say, wow, when they if my my dog does something or they see me and my dog walking down the street and he's walking beautifully and staying with me and looking up at me and giving me all of that. I love for people to stand and marvel at my dog. So there's a little bit of ego in there. But at
Of
the end of the
course.
day, yeah, but a little bit of, but at the end of the day, he also I want to keep him out of the street. I want to keep him safe. I want him to come back when called. Those very basic things, which again, all people want, but not everybody is willing to work because you do. You have to work. And some dogs harder, you have to work harder than others. There's a learning curve for dogs. And also the skill set of the trainer also comes into play. But let me ask you this. So just like I said with how the Dalmatian Club of America had that on their webpage at like that 10 reasons you don't need a Dalmatian, what would you say are just a few reasons why someone should say no to a Cane Corso?
Well, it's a working dog. That's a reason. That's a reason not to have them. The size. It's I would say the it's behavior. It's a guard dog. You know what I mean? So, if you have somebody coming over there looking at something, you got them out free in the backyard. Got the utility man. He gonna act up. He or she gonna act up. You know, most of them are. What else could the food? You gonna be paying a little money in food.
They eat a lot.
Yeah, they eat a lot. Yeah, so them are some of the things off the top of my head I can tell you. I have to think about some more, but yeah, a lot of
So,
dog.
yeah, it is a lot of dog and but you know what? So let's talk a little bit about, you've mentioned one of the first things you mentioned about them being a working dog. And so what would you say are some of the things, because what does that actually mean? I don't know what, if people really think into what that means, because let me tell you, the internet, social media has been, in my opinion, partially to blame for the when people want right now want to run out and get the Cane Corso because they're all over social media, and not just them. I would say, even like Malinois is this
Oh,
way
boy.
too. A lot of people want them because, but and so the, I want a working dog. Well, okay, do you? Because what do you have to do for when you have a working dog? So what are some of the things that you think that people may not be thinking about that they have to do if they, well, we already talked about training. That's one thing, but what are some of the other things when having a working dog that you have to be conscious about or you should be concerned about or at least know about that you're taking that on as well.
Well, you need to find a way to work that energy down.
There we
So,
go.
like, I run a two different types of corsos, I would say. I run more one that's kind of a little bit less drivey, family dog, gonna lay down when you lay it, shut it down. Then I got one with a little bit more spice. You know what I'm saying? So you have to find ways to exercise these dogs. The energy on some of them can be crazy. Yeah, I would say that. And a lot of that too is placement. I have to think about where I am now. I'm in the mountain biking capital of the world. So I'm sorry. I'm a big boy. I don't see me every day around here because people are so fit. So it's good for me because my dogs are kind of active and everything. But that's something you got to think about. How are you going to burn the energy? Do you walk a lot? Can you put them on a treadmill in your house? That energy need to be burned. You know what I'm saying? Because they can be destructive too. You know? Yeah.
You know, they sound like a Dalmatian in a bigger body. Because I can say the same thing. And that's hard for with Dalmatians because oh, they look so cute in the Disney whatever. That is, they're not that dog. I think I might have mentioned to you when I'm waiting during the our podcast on your show. They were bred as a guard breed too, but people don't know that because that's never been something that's been, oh, they run alongside the fire engine. Well, they ran alongside the coach on a horse because they were protecting the horses and they were protecting the mail that was being delivered. I mean, people just don't know. That's another reason why aggression in the Dalmatian breed, they've been associated with aggression because that instinct in them was not worked. It was not trained. It was not socialized properly. So anyway, so I think that Connie cultures are probably very similar to that. If you don't do anything, now you said you have the more docile ones, but that doesn't mean that that instinct still won't come out of one of them.
I got some docile ones, but I got the other kind too. Yeah, the more those go to more people more advanced because I know you're in the Dalmatian world. You know a bunch of Dalmatian people, and in the Corso world, I know a lot of Corso guys. I might breed with him, and it's kind of those kind of dogs go kind of hand in hand within us. Not everybody in the public. You know what I mean?
What about this? What about the liability? And I mean, like, legal liability of having a breed or a dog that is known to be have a propensity towards aggression and or a guard breed that is labeled as a guard breed. What about the legal liability? Do you, I mean, because I feel like people don't think about that enough. You know, they want a big dog with the potential to protect and do all these things, but I don't know that they think about, well, what if the dog makes a mistake?
I don't know what the legal ramifications are, but I've heard of $50,000 payouts, $20,000 payouts, $30,000 payouts, and
Yeah,
the
I
one
guess it
thing
would depend on it would
what
depend on what the
happened.
dog did,
Depending on what happened. And when you have these dogs too, you might have them outside, or say one gets loose, the whole neighborhood, you
Oh
see
my
the fear in
goodness.
their eyes. Like, is he friendly? Is it a pit bull dog? You know what I mean? So you see that. And so security is a big thing with me. All my gates are locked with the, first off, they kennels got the pin where they, because I got one. She know how to lift gate latches up. I swear she could probably open the door with a key, but I latch those even the perimeter area. I got 2 yards. I'm on almost 2 acres. So and then I latch the perimeter gates. You got to watch for the any holes dug in by the fence, things like that. You don't, and then plus you got to protect them, because I had one get out one time, ran up a little bit toward the highway and get hit. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was a bad deal. But yeah, I've heard about some big payouts, but it's just, you got to respect your neighbors. You have to respect your neighbors. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then let them know that about your dogs. Like now some of them, some of the neighbors know my dogs. And I don't just necessarily let them come up and pet them, but just know that it's Joe's dogs. You know what I'm saying? So,
Well, I still will always. I even have a kind of a romantic idea about like a large dog, like a gentle giant. Like I love the gentle giants. I love the dogs that can like don't cross me, don't do the wrong thing, but ones that are still very gentle and know when a person is good and they can sense when their owner is under attack or fearful. I feel like dogs that are the most well-bred of whatever breed has that instinct in them to guard, that it'll come out when it needs to. If the dog,
That's right. They
like so,
should know the difference in between a threat and a non-threat. If it doesn't, that dog should not be bred.
Exactly. There. Good. Thank you for emphasizing that
You know what I
point.
mean?
Yeah,
Yeah.
because people want dogs that are, I don't know why, but it seems like people want dogs that are like growling at everything and everybody. You don't want that.
Yeah.
But people,
That's the ego. I mean, and we have a lot of people who want hot dogs, is what they call them.
Oh yeah,
Hot dogs.
right.
I like balanced dogs. But yeah, we have that ego driven. I wanted to, and they not even I'm gonna tell you something too. A lot of the guys who think that way don't understand that dogs that actually go, that are with that type of work, that go hunt
Not
hogs,
him.
are that they are not like that.
No.
They can go hog hunting and go sit with kids. They not turn they not dumb dogs, you know what I mean? Yeah, they don't understand that.
No, and that's a
Yeah.
shame. Yeah, because like I have my Dalmatians, I do sports with them, but they're not like technically, I don't have them to guard the house. However, they will if they need to. I had a one who was a therapy dog, trained to go into hospitals, nursing homes to comfort people, let them pet him. That's how gentle he was. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in my, I got startled one night. I was sitting in my facility and I forgot that the cleaning people, I forgot it was a night that the cleaning people were coming in. And all of a sudden he just that low, that low growl there and looking at the door, just that low growl. And I was like, and I heard the key turning and I got startled because nobody was supposed to be there that night. And sure enough, it was the cleaning person. He ran out. This is a dog, like I said, who was in the probably the day before he was in a nursing home with his head on an elderly person's lap. That's how gentle this dog was. And he jumped right up to his duty because that was in him. He was never trained for protection or anything. And luckily, he was trained in general, so I could just call him off. But and he listened. But yeah, so I've seen it in a in a dog that I've seen it the way it's supposed to work. But unfortunately, it does go bad sometimes.
Like
And
th
because
this dog you I'm sorry to cut you off. This
no,
that what
go.
you did what you described is what my cousin, the one who pretty much put me in the game. That's what he had. He had a dog like that that'll go hog hunting, then they'll take him to the daycare and just show this quality, crazy temperament and intelligence, and it even reflected in his puppies. That's a dog.
Yeah, that's
That's
the
a
dog
dog.
you want. And like I said, there's so many dogs that, and I've had so many dogs come through my training through the years. There's so many admirable dogs out there, but a lot of people just think that I don't know. They think they're going to get that by not doing anything. Now, I will say every now and again, you do get lucky that there's a dog that for some reason he's perfect. You don't do anything with, but that's so rare. Most really great dogs are worked with in some way, training, socialization, just giving them a chance to express their, because I'm real big on getting allowing a dog to express what dogs do in a proper way, giving them outlets for things as opposed to keeping everything pent up. They can't do this, can't do that, can't do this. Because there's most things, there's a way to do certain things that will like kind of satisfy a dog. I've never been hunting. I'm not a hunter. You've mentioned hog hunting several times. I'm imagining that it's no joke because I know how involved are.
It's an old tradition, and
Yeah, I'm.
then plus people get paid to because they're pests in some areas. Now, I ain't no hog hunter. I ain't no
Yeah.
hog hunter, but I'm a pork eater, but I ain't no hog hunter. But I just kind of know I just kind of know how they do things and whatnot. But yeah, dogs are used for all kind of function. But where I live is mostly wooded, and the walks in the on the trails and things like that, that's a really good deal to work and make them stop doing stuff. Come here,
Oh yeah. You have to
different.
work with them. I don't know what people I mean, I'm a dog trainer. I've been trying to figure out humans for decades. I'm not sure what goes through people's head that they feel like they don't have to put in the work with this animal. They're animals, but they don't. But that's what keeps me in business. So I, probably shouldn't complain, but I still will. But anyway, but so yeah, I think that definitely, what if I ever get anyone for looking for a Conning Corso, I'm definitely going to give them your name, regardless as to, I mean, I'm in Virginia. I'm sure you have the network of and can put them in touch with people. So I will definitely have all your socials and information how to get a hold of you when I put up this podcast. But also all about your podcast, because that definitely inspired me. I was already in the works of my own, but I just love how you have so many trainers on your podcast as well. And I
I need a few more. I need a few. I need a trainer with me to interview you guys, because I need to get a little bit deeper than I know y'all can get deeper with each other on certain topics, but y'all got a lot of issues
Yeah, we do.
and
We do.
ideologies and things like that. So
Yeah, we do. And like I said to you before, regardless as to methods that we use, at the end of the day, most dog trainers agree more on things than we disagree, really. Like on how a dog, what you should want out of your dog, what you should be willing to put in to your dog, what kind of relationship you should have with your dog. We mostly agree. But I do appreciate that you have, and specifically, you have a lot of black trainers on your show, that on your podcast, that definitely people should listen, because as I said, regardless as to technique and methods, just listening to philosophies, I think there's a lot of knowledge out there that can be had, and people tend to keep swimming in their own pond and they don't step out of it. And so I definitely would encourage people to do that as well. So let me just go ahead and let you put out there? Do you have any upcoming litters or anything? Any litters on the ground or?
I got a Corso litter on the ground, Central Asian Shepherd litters on the ground right now, and I'll explain why I got into the Central Asian
Oh
Shepherd.
yeah.
Where I live, in the Ozark Mountains, a lot of coyote, a lot of just varmint and different things. But there's a lot of homesteads, lots of farms. So I was thinking about a dog that was kind of robust, strong like the Corso, but was more a hardier dog. The Central Asian Shepherd was the one I went for. I didn't get the real. I went for the type that so guarded. I got it from out of a Russia, from a judge named Polina Simic, and I liked her dog. I liked her dogs a lot because not only were they beautiful, but they would do that work. You know what I mean? And what I did, and what this is what I always do. And I advise people to do it whenever you're seeking out a breeder. Facebook is kind of like a roadmap. You can see people who've purchased. Hit them up.
All
How's the
right.
dog? You know what I mean?
Sure.
It would,
Get
and then
references.
another thing too. I hate to. I'm not trying to double back here, but you trainers are so important because if breeders utilize you guys, we can their programs will probably be a bunch better. I know some of the big YouTube channels, you've probably seen me work with a bunch of them. These guys send their dogs off to trainers and get them trained. You know what I mean? They not messing around with these dogs, not being and not and, and showing people what these dogs about. You know what I mean? We breed And trainers need to have more a better relationship,
Yeah, for
and I
sure.
and I yeah and I try to stay in mind. And another thing you said is perspectives. I show those. A lot of people say you crazy. You be putting different people on with saying different things. And one guy said, "I noticed you ask the same question a lot." And I said, and "Then what you learn from that?" He said, "You get di different answers." I said, "Yeah," and But not only usually like even in this conversation, I always say I take something from somebody. But even in those conversations with those different perspectives, you better be smart enough to know when to leave something. Don't
Well,
do
true. Yeah, because you'll hear a
that.
lot of things. You absolutely will hear a lot of things. And you know, there's something to be said about the trainers who have been doing it for a long time, but there's also something to be said that you got to be willing to grow. Because there's, you know, we used to, we like, what's that movie? I'm not sure what that, I might have been Friday, I'm not sure. But you know how, you know, we used to spray Windex on things. You know, I mean, to like on a store, we'll spray Windex to kill the germs. Okay. Yeah, Windex might work a little bit, but now there's other antibiotics and stuff that work better. So you always do want to keep learning and growing. But anyway, so I thank you so much for being a guest. I knew you would be a great one because we had a great conversation when we talked last time. So I appreciate it, and I definitely appreciate you spreading awareness and educating people about the Cane Corso breed. And yeah, the Central Asian Shepherd. Now I'm definitely going to do some research on them. Because I really have not heard of
Yes,
them.
ma'am.
I'm imagining a big, bushy, shepherd-like guard
It
breed.
is.
You know, that's what I'm picturing. But there, you know, there's others like the Caucasian and ones. I don't know if it's similar to those,
Yep,
but I'm
similar. Yes,
definitely
ma'am.
okay. So I'm definitely gonna do a little bit of research on them as well. So where is the main place where people can get a hold of you? Well, you have
Anywhere,
yeah, you're a
anywhere.
lot of
It's
places.
Instagram. My website is NWA Cane Corso, and the number that another thing we was talking about the pronunciation of Cane
Oh,
Corso. Let me tell everybody what NWA stands for. That's
Oh,
always a good
yeah.
question.
Yeah.
NWA stands for Northwest Arkansas. Northwest Arkansas.
That's
Because
funny.
it's no
So,
different than how people say DFW,
right.
DMV, same kind of scenario. But it's
Okay,
always,
so nothing about Ice Cube or Eazy-E or any of
right,
them.
exactly.
Okay, got it.
So
Got it.
it's Instagram, Facebook, NWA Cunning Course, so you can find me.
All right, great. Well, thanks again, Joe, and keep doing what you're doing. I'm so
Yes,
glad that
ma'am.
I have become aware of you. And hey, have you when I'm available anytime you want to have me on yours
Oh
again as well.
I definitely want to have that. And I want to I want to tell you something right before the world. I know my podcast, I kind of push it a little bit. I know I kind of keep the topics a little bit
Good.
on the edge. So it, I mean, but it caused a lot of conversation. And I was about to make a bad mistake on pushing my topics one time. And then me and Miss Laura, we don't talk like that. And some said, seek counsel with her. And I did, and she made me think about
Oh.
making a really changing my mind on a really bad
Oh,
show
okay.
I was about to do
Okay.
because
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
yes, ma'am.
Sometimes I say things and I'm like, I don't know if it's getting through or not. So it's always good to hear when
Well, yeah.
something positive comes out of it. Well, like I said, again, I'll look forward to our next conversation. Again, everybody, definitely check out Joe and NWA Cane Corso's, his podcast, his Instagram, and I will have all the information on the podcast website. So thanks for joining me. Have a good evening.
Y'all later.
All right.
This is Laurie C. Williams, the Canine Diva. Thank you so much for joining us today on Just a Dog Trainer podcast. See you next time.